This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You're everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where you're at. Going down a bumpy hillside in your hippie hat. Flying across the country and getting fat. Saying everything is groovy when your tires are flat.
Just gone 10 p.m, you're listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Joe Forrester, here with you, and it's time for the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show. You can give us a ring or send us a WhatsApp message on 0208 7020 558. You can get in touch on social media at Love Sport Radio. Yep, it's time for the Sheffield Wednesday Fan Show with a different gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Rich Miller and Luke Gledall with me this evening. Rich, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Rich. Thanks for joining us. Luke, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. Very, very good. Luke, let me start with you. Football suspended until the 30th of April, but the EFL say they will finish the season no matter what happens. Do you think that that's realistic?
I really don't know, because I just hear a lot about how, you know, this is having a huge economic effect just everywhere. So, you know, I hear a lot about how the fact that, you know, the clubs want to put games on, they want to get the people coming through the turnstiles. But I don't really know how that's going to happen, unless how I've been thinking near the beginning of all this is that games are played behind closed doors. So unless games are played behind closed doors, I really can't see it happening.
How do you feel about games behind closed doors? I mean, for me, it's not really the same sport without fans there. I know players feel the same, but I mean, maybe that's the way to get it done, Luke.
Yeah, I don't think it's ideal, but I mean, I also think it's kind of, I find it kind of quite novel and quite humorous for that reason as well.
It's very weird.
It'd be quite fun to see teams kicking around empty stadiums and we hear the echoes and players shouting at each other.
Yeah, Rich, there is a certain joy, isn't there, to seeing players or hearing players berate each other.
Yeah, they might need to, get the bleep button out for football broadcast, I guess. In principle, I really don't like the idea of games behind closed doors. I think fans are such an integral part of all sport, but football more so than most. I mean, just hearing the sort of song at the start is. Making me already a bit sad about not being at Hillsborough and being able to sort of cheer the players as they come out and that sort of nervous anticipation of the match. Whether you feel that as much remotely, I don't know. And whether you lose a lot of the spectacle, I suspect you probably do lose a lot of the spectacle by not having people there chanting and cheering and, you know, sometimes jeering. But, yeah,
it's. I mean, it certainly does create a different experience, and I know that players feel it does as well. Rich, let me ask you, it's the second week without football. How are you filling your weekends?
It's a good question. it's tough, you know. To be honest, yeah, a bit more, probably slightly, you know, higher percentage of computer games than previously, which is, you know, it's which is fine. We're being encouraged not to get fresh air, which is different from all the summers I had when I was growing up, which I was being encouraged to be outside rather than playing video games. Now Boris Johnson's told me to, so I should probably obey.
Boris Johnson is directly responsible for me wasting my life on Championship Manager 0102.
Exactly, there you go. It's nice to have someone to blame, apart from myself.
Exactly. Luke, the Tranmere chairman is urging... clubs across the Football League in trying to, in an attempt to mitigate some of the financial impact, to put in place a 10% pay cut of all staff, including players. Do you think that's something you can see Wednesday doing?
I'd like to. I'd like to see some of these players being paid a little bit less money than they're currently on.
Yep.
I find it funny though, because I don't know. I don't think sportsmen the most kind of financially kind of solvent people or kind of well planned for these things. And they've probably got some kind of big outlays and big kind of cars and houses to pay for as well. So I like the idea. I don't know how feasible that's going to be, I'm going to be honest.
In terms of I suppose, your preparation for the end of the season, it really, having this time off, I know everybody's in the same boat, but having this time off really derails the club in the process, because I know these players are training at home and Paul Pogba and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang are in their palatial home gyms working out. And if only it were that easy for all of us. Yeah, sadly, I can't have both the PlayStation and the home gym. I had to pick between the two. But have you got any kind of, Rich, have you got any idea of how Wednesday are dealing with the training schedule? Are they getting players in at all, or is it kind of all from home stuff?
I've read conflicting bits and pieces. So some people were saying that the players were still just sort of going into training as normal. But then I think there was a sort of long-form interview with the chairman in the week, and he sort of seemed to say they were going a bit further than those reports suggested. But it's such a strange thing, because we now know, of course, they're not going to be playing for a month, but they do have to keep themselves a certain level of fitness. I wonder whether teams will have to sort of put in place a regimen a bit like pre-season, where, you know, if you come in, you've got to come in at sort of 85% fitness at the very least, otherwise you get fines and things like that. That might be one of the ways to cut down on costs if all the players are sat around playing Championship Manager and eating crisps all day, they come in and they've got a long way to go to get to match fitness, then maybe they get penalised for that.
I'll finally
be a bit of a Kit Kat chunky tax, you're saying, Richard.
Now we're talking. Luke, how much will Wednesday, do you think, be hurt by that lack of match day revenue? Because obviously, while being a big club, I mean, it is still a significant part of any club's income.
Yeah, I think it's going to do some kind of fair damage. I guess the interesting thing right now, what we're looking at, and as we're staring down the barrel of final financial fair play kind of points deduction, I guess it's just going to be some more money that the chairman's just going to kind of throw at it to kind of cover that hole. But is that going to be kind of kept into account? That's another question.
Yeah, and the FFP rules, we've actually just heard this evening, UEFA are relaxing FFP rules in the midst of this crisis. So who on earth knows what the fallout that's going to mean for clubs. Let's talk about, Rich, let's talk about the league form before this break. So obviously, I mean, it's if this is, I mean, a good time for any club, perhaps after that absolute hiding from Brentford. Then the form's been patchy to say the least, kind of the last few games. What do you think was maybe lacking?
I think patchy's generous, to be honest.
It is. I'm being diplomatic.
Yeah, patchless, I think, really, since Christmas. And you hope things are happening, but then the traditional things that you would be doing is sort of, as a manager, presumably, is sort of working them particularly hard in training and doing all sorts of work on shape and brilliant new tactics. And you can only guess that that's not happening. And you don't even know who you will be playing going forward. So it's going to, even if there is room for some, you know, training and preparation, it's all going to have to be fairly generic. So it's a strange one. It's certainly nice as a Wednesday fan, in a weird way, to not be dreading every weekend and the losses that just sort of come one after another, which has been the kind of patchy season we had thus far, 2020. But it's hard to feel like there's going to be a sort of silver lining to this for us, because all those issues, the only thing that really takes it away is wind. And you can't do that when you're not playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true, Luke, isn't it? I mean, was Gary Monk's job under pressure until this break?
I would definitely say so. I'd be really struggling to think that, you know, certainly not doing particularly fantastic. But I don't know. I also, looking back, I kind of wonder a lot about Chancery, someone who's kind of relaxes his finger on that trigger before he kind of fires the manager, so to speak. So I don't know. I would say I don't think he's doing particularly great. But I think he's probably still locked in for the end of the season.
So you think that it will be Monk when we do resume, whenever that might be?
Whenever and if we ever do, I think it will be Gary Monk, yes.
Did you know what? I think some managers have certainly got a little bit of a reprieve here, because they're hoping when football does resume that everybody will have forgotten what was happening.
They might be behind some of those voices wanting people to write off the rest of the season. Yeah, forget about this season. It didn't even happen.
Yeah, it was funny that obviously Karen Brady did it in the Premier League, West Ham sliding towards the drop zone, and she suddenly thought it's time to actually scrap the season, weirdly enough. Right, we're going to be talking about the six-figure sum that Wednesday will receive from the EFL amid coronavirus concerns next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Now, don't forget, from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB Radio across the UK. If you're listening to us on Love Sport London, well, you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Press the auto-tune, refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you don't miss your favourite shows on Love Sport. Remember, you can have your say on social media at Love Sport Radio. Give us a ring or send us a WhatsApp message, 0208 70 20 558. It's the Sheffield Wednesday fan show with a different gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Rich Miller and Luke Gledall are with me until 10:30, talking all things Wednesday. Now, of course, concerns been raised about the short and long term financial impacts of COVID-19, and it's been decided that a £50 million sum would be made available to the 72 EFL clubs to assist with their cash flow requirements, which equates to about, I'm about to give quite a precise figure, £584,000 for championship clubs. Obviously, it's going to be hugely helpful to clubs lower down the pyramid. But Rich, I mean, obviously, £500,000 is a lot of money, but when it comes to running a major football club like Sheffield Wednesday, I'm not quite sure how far that will go.
Well, it's just over a quarter of what Jordan Rhodes costs every year that he's with us, just in terms of what we pay to Middlesbrough. So that's one way to think of it. We've cleared at least a quarter of the Jordan Rhodes payments for the next year. That's good. I'm sure. I mean, I hope that helps. I think we're in an enviable position. We have a chairman who there seems to be funds available. We're at the other end of the scale where we're being punished because he's sort of indulged too much. but there are clubs where, you know, that will be absolutely vital just to kind of keep the lights on and keep them in a position where they can, you know, open the turnstiles again when football comes back. For us, it feels a bit of a drop in the ocean, to be honest. But it's nice that there's some help there. It's nice to find out that the Football League has reserves like that available. Who knew?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Luke, do you feel like, I mean, because it's actually 50 million quid in football actually isn't a huge amount of money. It's got to be said, it's about the cash that Leo Messi makes in a year. And I mean, I know that's obviously kind of apples and oranges sort of thing. But Luke, do you think that the Premier League has a responsibility to subsidise the rest of the football pyramid, given that the clubs in the Premier League are so much richer?
I do. And I think about, don't want to get too kind of contentious here, but I think about that whatever agreement that was basically kind of signed to give the, you know, EFL clubs money from the Premier League TV deal, and basically saying, well, we're just going to take your youngsters for an absolute pinch. And I think because of that, there's a lot of reasons that I think it's kind of, if you think of it like at the grassroots level, probably from a small level, keep going upwards, everything kind of keeps everything above it afloat. Mm. I kind of think of it that way, if you think of it very much like a pyramid. So, yeah, I definitely think some of those obscene riches that come into the Premier League, some of them can drift downwards into the lower leagues.
Let's talk about where you'd like to see Wednesday improve, as and when we do have a transfer window. So you're one of many clubs looking to sign Wolves' young right-back, 20-year-old Deion Sanderson. Rich, is right full-back a position that you'd look to improve anyway?
I'm not sure it'd be top of my list. Mm. I think Liam Palmer, who tends to play there, has been a very consistent performer for us. He's our longest serving player and came through the youth ranks. I'm not sure that's where I'd go first and foremost. I would like a new goalkeeper. Mm. I think we could do with a defensive midfielder that's fit for whole chunks of the season rather than being missing for most of the season. That would be nice. And every team feels they'd like another goal scorer. We do have Jordan Rhodes, a storied goal scorer on our books, but the story seems to have finished before he got to Sheffield Wednesday, unfortunately. The end. And then the epilogue was at Sheffield Wednesday and nobody bothered reading it.
Yeah, like one of those spin-off books that actually read it, you go, I don't know why I bothered.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the first one. Luke, how about you? Where would you like to see improvement?
I would basically said, if you asked the same question, I would say pick a position. But I definitely think, kind of going on what Rich is saying, I think we definitely need a new spine. I think we probably need at least one new centre back. I'd probably say two. New goalkeeper, I'd love. I'd like some new fullbacks. Definitely some better options in centre mid. That would be my first few things. And then I've got to think about the fact that we've got players like Jacob Murphy going back on loan, and so we probably need some wingers and we need some goal scorers. So to conclude, every position, basically.
Just a cheeky 11 players and maybe an extra 11 just as backup.
I think that'll do it, yeah.
Rich, we've touched on it a couple of times. The FFP, what was it we said? A chairman who overindulged.
Yeah.
He's had
some big Christmases. Mr. Chancery has had some really big Christmases.
Yeah,
his belt is straining.
The Man City defence, I think they call that. But do we, Rich, have any idea where this whole FFP scenario is? From the interview, actually, that the chairman gave to Yorkshire Live, apparently the case is still ongoing. I mean, do you as a fan kind of have ears to the ground and you have any idea what's going on?
I wish I had a feeling for things. I mean, it does seem a sort of uniquely odd position that I believe Sheffield Wednesday's defence in this case is something along the lines of, effectively, there was somebody working for the EFL helping clubs follow the model of what Derby did to sell their ground and advising the club on what values they might be able to charge for that, and I think even pointing them towards an accountancy firm that were really good at kind of, you know, working the system to make this work for you. So if you've got kind of a series of emails from some, you know, let's call it Mr. X at EFL.co.uk, and then suddenly the next year there's a change of regime at the EFL and they go, actually, all these things where they're selling the ground, we don't like these. We don't want them to do it anymore. But I think the club are sort of rightly going, well, we were almost being actively encouraged to do this. Here's the emails to show that. How are we supposed to know, you know, which way's up if it changes so dramatically? So whether that stands up to legal scrutiny, who knows?
I feel like I understand a bit more. So,
no, there you go. That's good.
There you go. And do you know what? That, I don't learn stuff often. So
you make a point of it.
Yeah, exactly. I've built my career on never listening to anyone. Luke, in amongst the unexpected crisis that we find ourselves in, a lot of clubs have been pulling together, and fan groups have been doing things to support various sections of the fan base. What's the reaction been among Sheffield Wednesday fans? Has there been that element of camaraderie?
I'm really not sure. I think I just kind of seemingly go on message boards and forums where everyone just basically laments the lack of football. So I don't know if I can really give you a good answer to that one, Joe.
Fair enough. But I think lots of football clubs do, they are very active in the community, and I think they tend not to be recognised for that kind of work. And there's an interesting shift, actually. So we heard earlier this evening an interview from Transfermarkt, the people who analyse the finances of football. And the advice essentially was to go and join supporter groups and to work with supporter groups, and the financial side of football and the financial priorities that are such a big part of football, and it's kind of money first, fans second, that is maybe something that will die away as fans want more power over their clubs, for example, because one of the big problems that we're having with football at the moment is all the financial issues that are tied up in it. Now, Rich, obviously, is someone who is involved in talking about the club. One of the things that's been touted is potentially a move towards a more German style of the 50+1, where the fans own 50% of the club plus one vote. I mean, I think I know what you're going to say, but I'm guessing you'd like to see more fan power, right?
I would absolutely love that. I mean, it's interesting. Sheffield Wednesday, in our not too distant past, we had a fan group that had 10% of the club. But it was, to be honest, it became quite divisive. The chairman at the time, who's gone on to wonderful success at Chesterfield, I won't name any names, but he sort of pretty successfully turned the fact that there was this group within the group of fans who had this extra power. He sort of pretty successfully turned that against the fan group and sort of maligned them for several things. I mean, there was a failed takeover, which nobody was ever sure if it was sort of real or imagined. But that was blamed on the fans owning a percentage of the club. So I think Wednesday fans are a little bit more wary of that than maybe other groups of fans. But I think you've got to look at the long-term stewardship of the club, and the fans are the ones that outlast owners, managers, footballers. Them having more say feels like a sensible thing to have involved in your football club.
I think that's a rather beautiful point to leave it on. Thank you. Thank you so much for chatting to us, chaps. It's been really, really good fun there. Rich Miller and Luke Gledall with A Different Gravy, not just another Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Really good fun talking to the boys there, of course. Right, don't forget, from 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you're listening to us on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Press the auto-tune, refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you don't miss your favourite shows on Love Sport. Up next, it's the Huddersfield Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.